Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Hello and welcome to this broadcast from Let the Bible Speak at this Easter time, and we trust that the Lord will bless you as you listen to this broadcast. We're going to start by reading the scriptures, and we're going to read relevant portion of scripture, John chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 19 to 23 together. And at this portion or at this juncture, it's the evening of the resurrection, and the Lord Jesus Christ has been raised again, and he appears to his disciples. So John 20, verses 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Amen. We trust that God will bless that reading of his word to your hearts. We're going to just still ourselves before God and seek his face in prayer. And I would encourage you to even pray along with us as we seek the Lord together. Our Father and our God, and we thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, is now in heaven. And thy truth reminds us that he ever lives to make intercession for his people. We thank you, Lord, for that time when Jesus Christ passed through the heavens and he has now entered into the most holy place. He appears before you to put away and to make an end of sin. We thank you for your Son, whom we remember every Sunday. Think especially of this special time. We take this time just to remember, to commemorate and indeed to celebrate the fact that the tomb is empty. The fact that Jesus Christ, using Pauline language, he now lives in the power of an endless life. And we can say, up from the grave he arose. We pray that you'll just help us to live as Christians in light of all that Christ has done on the cross and the fact that he now is in heaven, pleading for and praying for us, his people. So bless us to that end and be with us as we further worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to listen to this lovely hymn, Is There a Heart That Is Waiting, Longing for Pardon Today.
Is there a heart that is broken? We're
In this resurrection portion, John chapter 20, we read in verse 20 that when he had so said, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected form, speaking to the disciples, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Fear is something I think we all grapple with to a lesser or a greater degree. It reminds me of the story that I heard of a man preparing to set off on a long plane journey. He didn't really like flying. He was very, very fearful of the journey. And so prior to this long journey that he made, he took out quite an expensive insurance policy, which cost him quite a sum of money. And here he was about to take off. He was waiting on his flight number being called and so on. And he decided he would get a coffee before taking the flight. As he was sitting down in the coffee shop, they gave him a little biscuit, a little fortune cookie. And the fortune cookie read something like this: a recent investment that you have made may soon pay dividends. Needless to say, that man was even more fearful about his recent investment of an insurance policy than he perhaps was previously. Howard Hughes was another successful businessman. He lived about 100 years ago. And history tells us that he would spend an awful lot of his time wiping up everything that he had touched behind him. And because he was so fearful of germs, history would record that he actually went through something like 4 or 5 boxes of Kleenex a day as he sought to wipe up everything that he touched. Fear affects us all, as I've said then, in different ways. It has a different impact upon us. But I think here we have individuals, and certainly fear is having an impact upon their spiritual life. These are fearful individuals. We have all of the disciples, bar Thomas and Judas, gathered together in the upper room. This was probably the same room that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ previously, as they had eaten that bread and drank that wine with him. And now it is the resurrection evening. It's the first dawn of the resurrection, as it were. It's Sunday night, and here they are faithful. Verse 19, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So as it says very, very clearly, here are the disciples, and they're very, very fearful. They are gathered in that upper room, and the Bible tells us that the door is shut. And the thought in the original text, it has the idea of being barred shut, of being shut in such a way that you just couldn't get through this door. They were so fearful. Fearful because of the Jews. You see, they had watched their beloved Savior die. They had now heard that he was raised again. And Peter and John, that morning, they had already seen the risen Lord Jesus. You imagine all of the hustle, all of the bustle, all of the rumors that are going about Jerusalem at this time. Some of the rumors were that some of the disciples had actually sneaked Jesus Christ out of the tomb. And so, as I've said, here they are, they're very fearful. The Jews, they have killed Jesus Christ. They have cried out, crucify him, and so on. And they're thinking, are we next on the Jewish hit list? And so here they are. They are met, they are assembled together, 10 of them, for fear of the Jews. And at this time of fear, at this time of hesitation, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, wonderfully, miraculously, bodily, physically, and visibly, he walks straight through those shut front doors. And he speaks wonderful words to them. And he shows to them his body. He shows to them, as this portion clearly tells us, he shows to them his hands and his side. And these verses tell us, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. My friend, we all have fear. And you have fear. Perhaps at these uncertain times, these times of COVID-19 and the resulting outfall of COVID-19, perhaps you have just been gripped with fear. Perhaps you've, maybe not because of the reasons of the disciples, but maybe you've lived your life like the disciples, behind closed doors, the doors being shut, as it were. And my friend, you are fearful. fearful of what the future may hold, fearful perhaps even for your physical welfare, over your physical welfare. At such a time of fear, whatever the causes of fear are, what do I need to see at such a time? We need to have a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. What's the impact of such a revelation? Then were disciples glad when they saw the Lord. My friend, when you see the Lord in all of his risen power and all of his glory and all of his majesty, you'll experience what the disciples experienced. Their fears being allied and them being glad, facing the challenges of the future. I want to speak to you then on the subject of Christ's manifestation at a time of hesitation. The first thing I think we see here is the disciples' condition. The disciples' condition. Their condition is very, very clearly spelled out for us here. They were apprehensive. Verse 19, we read that Jesus came, stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." This expression that Christ speaks to his disciples, "Peace be unto you," the thought here of being at peace, it has the idea of being calm, being at rest, not being worried. Yet here is the disciples, here are the disciples, and Christ had now died. This was a severe blow to their faith. They certainly were not calm. They certainly were not at rest. They certainly were worried. They certainly were anxious. They were apprehensive. Others had seen him that day. Think, for example, of Mary Magdalene and how she mistook the Lord to be the very gardener there as he again appeared before her. And she had actually spoke to the disciples of this. You read of this in the resurrection accounts in the Gospels. And yet what was the response of the disciples to all this? Mark 16:14, they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe them. They didn't believe the witness of Mary, and they didn't believe the witness of Cleopas and the other disciple, whose hearts burned within them as they talked with Jesus Christ by the way. They just didn't believe it, the disciples. And so they're full of unbelief, they're apprehensive. They're also afraid, aren't they? Verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. I've already made mention to the fact that there were rumors going around, floating about, that some of the disciples had taken the body of Jesus and had stolen it. You read Matthew chapter 28, you read of the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, and they had been paid off by the chief priests to spread such lies, to essentially try and disprove the resurrection. And so I want you to see the disciples here. They're fearful. Fearful of what those outsiders are saying. And they are apprehensive at the same time. They are full of unbelief. They hear all the rumors that Christ is no longer in the tomb, that Christ has been raised again, that he's alive forevermore. But they don't believe it. So they're apprehensive and they're afraid. I wonder just, is this you? At this time of year, yes, there is a cause for joy, but perhaps that's not where you are. Perhaps the effects of this last year, COVID-19, coronavirus, have left you suffering from the same debilitating, crippling effects that clearly plagued the disciples here. You're apprehensive. You're unbelieving. And you are afraid. This is often the condition of the child of God. So often, you read of the command, "Fear not." Bible commentators actually believe that there are 365 commands to fear not in the Bible, one for every day of the year. In other words, the inference is that every day we fear about something. And perhaps this is you. You're fearful of tomorrow. Fearful of problems in the family. Fearful perhaps of finance. Fearful of just the outcome of everything that has been going on, both on a worldwide scale and even on a more personal and individual scale. And you're unbelieving. You're unbelieving. You don't really believe that the Lord has been with you. You don't really sense his presence with you. You don't really believe even that God or Christ has been in all of this, or that he's with you at this moment in time in all of the difficulties that you face. Reminds me of a pastor He got up one Sunday morning and said to his wife, said, "Dear, I'm not going to church today." And he said, "I'll give you three good reasons as to why I'm not going to church." He said, "The congregation is cold." He said, "Nobody likes me. And my third reason is very simply, I'm just not going." And his wife replied wisely, "Well, dear, I have three reasons as to why you should go to church today. The congregation is warm. Secondly, there are a few people who indeed do like you. And thirdly, you're the pastor. It's time to get dressed and go to church." You see, so often we take the situations of life, and because of fear and because of unbelief, we make them out to be something that they're not, or perhaps we make the situation out to be worse than it actually is. Fear has a debilitating, crippling impact upon you as an individual, and that's where the disciples were. Their condition. I want you to see secondly here, the disciples' confirmation. The disciples' confirmation. Verse 20 tells us, when he had said, he showed them to them his hands and his side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 2 days previously, they had heard of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Now, most of them weren't there, bar John. They had all forsook him. They had all fled. But they certainly heard about it. They certainly beheld the darkness in the sky. They certainly would have at least felt the impacts of the ground quaking and so on. They knew that Christ had died. And yet here they are, and now this same Jesus, now he appears before them 3 days after dying, and he simply shows them. Verse 20, I love the way it puts it. He showed unto them his hands and his side. Now this is the same Jesus. This is the same body. It's different in its form, but it is exactly the same Christ, exactly the same body that had previously 3 days prior to this had died, had the spear riven through its side, had even the nails driven through the hands. And that's why he shows them his hands and his side to prove to them, this indeed is me in my resurrected form. He showed them his wounds and he spoke to them his word. I love it. I love what he says here. Verse 19, "Peace be unto you." He just appears through the front door. Miraculously, this same body miraculously appears through the door and he simply speaks words of peace. So how does he allay their fears? How does he deal with their unbelief? How does he speak calm, as it were, into their fearful souls? He shows them himself and he speaks to them his word. My friend, this is how Christ deals with your fear and with your unbelief. He shows you himself, and he shows you himself through the word. Through the word. What did he say concerning his word? "These are they which testify of me." And you read over and over again in this book, my friend, about how Jesus Christ died, how he was prophesied to die, how he indeed did die. You read in the Gospels of how he died, and also, as we're looking at, how he was raised again to conquer death and to defeat death and hell and sin. You're fearful, apprehensive. Christ, he speaks to you words of peace as he spoke to these disciples. Wherever you are, I think you see that the inference here, the connotation. Here they are, they're in a room. My friend, you're listening to this, probably in a room, and yet Jesus Christ, he speaks to you, as it were, words from heaven itself, "Peace be unto you." So often, this was the message of the gospel. This was the message of Christ, the message of peace. You remember at his birth, what did the angel say in Luke 2:14? "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace towards men and goodwill." Before the cross, what did Christ say to his disciples? In John's gospel, "Peace I give to you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Bible tells us we are justified by faith, and in Romans 5 verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God today through Jesus Christ. And he then speaks words of peace to your heart and soul through the word. Their condition, the confirmation of the disciples. Lastly then, I want you to see the commissioning of the disciples. Verses 21 and 22, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them, saith to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They were glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw his wounds. They were glad when they heard his word. Peace be unto you. And now with their fears dealt with, and now facing all that was outside, facing all of the clamor and all of the noise that was going on as a result of his death and resurrection, he sends them forth. He sends them forth with the mission of proclaiming peace to the world that is not at peace. That's what he essentially did. As the Lord has sent me from heaven to earth to proclaim peace to this world and provide peace to this world, even so send I you. He's sending you, my friend, having had your fear and having had your unbelief dealt with, this is his commission to you at this time of year. It is to proclaim not merely that Jesus Christ died, but he has risen again, he is now in heaven, and he is giving peace to men. And he doesn't send you alone. What did he do with the disciples here? He breathed on them. He breathed on them the Spirit of God. There's the language of Genesis 2:7, isn't there? How did God create man? He breathed on him, into him, Adam, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He breathed into him, and man was made alive. How are you made alive in your Christian service? It's through the breathing of the Spirit of God upon your life. And then Christ sending you forth with the message of peace to this world that's not at peace. I trust today that whatever your condition, if you're fearful, you're afraid, you're apprehensive, you're unbelieving, that you see afresh a risen Lord Jesus at this time of year, that you see his wounds, that you hear his word. And in hearing all about and imbibing the truth of this book, that you know a fresh endowment of power from on high, like the disciples did in Acts 2. And they went forth bringing the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Christ's manifestation at a time of hesitation. May God do that with you through his word today. We'll just close our time in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel, that Christ died and now Christ lives forevermore, and he sends us forth to live for him. We pray that you might show us afresh yourself at this time and then send us forth to live for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.